we've been actually looking forward to having this next guest on for a while. He is the general manager of the Toronto Raptors, Bobby Webster. Bobby, thanks for joining us. I don't know, can I call you the new general manager of the Raptors? I don't know. I don't know if that necessarily makes sense. But general manager of the Toronto Raptors, Bobby Webster, joining us. Bobby, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
You know, as we move toward training camp with the Raptors, you know, there seems to be the sense, if we go back to where we ended last season and thinking of some of the things that Masai said in his season wrap and some of the things Dwayne said in their season wrap, the idea seemed to be, Bobby, that there had to be some change. I mean, I think Masai called it cultural change. I think most of us kind of took it to mean the Raptors, frankly, have to morph a little bit more into what we now consider to be a prototypical NBA franchise, i.e. everybody shoot three-pointers, everybody make three-pointers, we all have fun and we all go home. At this stage, do you think this team has changed enough in that direction? Like, what's your gut sense? Have you changed enough in that direction?
You know, I think we'll see when the season starts, but I think you touched on one of the big points. I think the general theme is kind of play. And so obviously 3-point shooting is part of that, but, I think also ball movement and you know, kind of understanding what defenses are trying to make your offense do. And so, it's one thing to just go out there and say, yeah, you know, analytically speaking, if we all only took threes, it would be better. But that's not reasonable. And, you know, some of the top teams, San Antonio, Golden State, there's a ton of ball movement. And so I think 3-point shooting has kind of become the beacon for everyone to hone in on.
Right.
But I think there's a lot of things that go into how do you get 3-point shots. It's not, you know, as simple as just going down there and taking more shots. So.
Well, how does that kind of jibe with the character, the nature of your team and of your lineup? When you're trying to kind of, I assume you don't want to try and turn your team into something that it's not.
Of course.
So
I think, you know, they're incremental growth that I think we've seen, you know, since we've came here. But you know, we're not expecting players to change overnight, but a move in that direction, I think, is what we're looking for from not just our players, but kind of everyone involved in the organization from the coaches on down.
Bobby, when you look at some of the moves that have been made in this conference right now, or I should say some of the moves that have been made in this conference, do you feel that the ground has maybe shifted a little bit? I mean, clearly, the road goes through Cleveland, I think, until LeBron isn't in Cleveland. But obviously, there's been a bit of a seismic change with Kyrie Irving going to Boston and Isaiah Thomas going to Cleveland. Is the ground shifted a little bit under your feet here?
I wouldn't say significantly. I think it's, you know, the same characters at the top that we've been used to competing against. So I think in that sense it's the same. Yeah, maybe they might look a little bit different. But I think we know who the top teams are, and I think, you know, that's who we'll continue to prepare for. But as far as, you know, any major changes, no, obviously the makeup of Cleveland and Boston changed you know, quite a bit. But no, I wouldn't say there was a ton of change from our point of view.
So do you have to react to, again, the kind of the reality of what Cleveland has been the last couple of years and, you know, kind of understanding that that's the top of the mountain in the East, especially, you know, organizationally, do you have to react to that, Bobby?
I don't think you have to. I think we want to react to getting better. And so the two things that, or at least the one thing we talked about was style of play, which I think we can all agree would allow for some incremental growth for our team. And then I think as you look down our roster, I think our young players, I think those guys are going to get a chance this year. And so that was, you know, by design, we believe in those guys and we'll get a chance to see what a lot of our young guys that we've been developing over the past few years can do.
What's it going to mean having a full season of Serge Ibaka, you know, and a camp with Ibaka?
I think that the second thing you touched on is probably the biggest, which is, you know, we've been around him all summer, and then he'll come into training camp. And you know, that was, I think, as Masai noted a few times, we haven't been big on mid-season trades for precisely that reason, because it's hard to incorporate somebody, you know, and Serge had made the change to Orlando, and now he was adjusting to us. And so now with a full off season, with him, you know, understanding how we play, what the things we want to do, I think we'll get the best Serge Ibaka because of that.
I think also with training camp, it's going to be interesting to see how CJ kind of works into things as well. Sometimes I think, Bobby, we really there's this idea that training camp is just long and it really doesn't matter, and they just play exhibition games and then the season starts and everybody straps it on and away they go. But I think especially in basketball, when you're talking about developing a relationship between your backcourt and front court, you really do need to have your guys together in a training camp, don't you?
100%. I think, you know, Kyle and DeMar are familiar with each other, and they're familiar with JV, and they're a little bit more familiar with Serge. But to your point, CJ is the one new guy there. And so, yeah, I mean, it's playing pickup games. It's playing, you know, drills. It's running through the offense. Kyle and DeMar probably haven't played with CJ a ton. CJ hasn't played with Serge. Serge has played with a little bit of JV. So there's all those little moments throughout training camp. Yes, it's long. Yes, you're going to run lines. Yes, you're going to focus on a lot more of the fundamentals. And then there's just the camaraderie off the court, whether it's dinners at night or whether it's, you know, just hanging on the sidelines after practice and chatting and getting to know each other. So those are all the things that go into it that may not be so obvious.
Bobby, tell us a little bit about yourself. As we mentioned, we did check. You are the youngest GM in the NBA at 32. You've come a long way relatively quickly. How did you get into basketball? How did you decide that you wanted to be, you know, that this was your calling? Was there a certain time in your life where you decided this, or, you know, because it seems to be a pretty rapid rise? And, you know, doing a little bit of digging into your background, I mean, you know, you were a guy who's largely credited with a lot of the things we see in the CBA right now. How do you transfer that into sort of picking between basketball player A and basketball player B, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Like many people in this industry, and I'm sure yourself included, we all love sports, and specifically, you know, I grew up playing basketball my entire life, loved playing it, and like, you know, 99% of us weren't good enough to do anything, take it anywhere professionally. So I think that's where it comes from, you know, the love for the game. And then, you know, as everyone grows older and matures, I think you develop a different perspective on sports and whatever it is that you enjoy. And so, I studied economics in college and kind of went a little bit of that route, but always kind of maintained my interest and love for basketball. And I think now you see the NBA, the billions of dollars that are spent and earned and, paid for franchises. And so I think there's just an extra scrutiny and kind of edge that people are looking for. And so at its most basic level, I'm just trying to combine both of those, which is a little bit of strategic thinking with understanding basketball and how everything works together.
You looking forward to the day when people don't, you're no longer the youngest GM in the NBA, so that people don't bring that up.
I gotta go tell my friends, come on, go get a GM job.
Hey, in a general sense, Bobby, do you find the NBA is more open now to bringing younger guys in and giving them a lot of responsibility right away, as opposed to, well, you know, you got to sort of be a 55-year-old guy, you've worked your way up, played a bit, maybe been an assistant general manager, things of that nature. Is the NBA a little more open, do you think, to looking at guys and going, you know, this guy's young and sharp, and he kind of gets what we're about and what we need to do to be successful. Let's give him a shot.
I hope so. I know at least MLSE and Larry and Masai were, so I'm thankful for that. I think, you know, if you look around, you know, the world of business and various industries in general, I think, a lot of those barriers to entry and barriers to rising in organizations are being done away with, whether it's the tech companies or whether, various industries that have seen younger people rise to the top. And so maybe that, in a kind of indirect way, is helpful for everyone that's young and aspiring and ambitious.
But it seems to be in the sport was kind of hidebound in a lot of ways. But, you know, you look around, going back to Theo Epstein's arrival in baseball and guys like him, guy working down the hall from you, Kyle Dubas, in the Leaf organization, there does seem to have been a shift away from that notion within sports. And I think maybe it's because of the success of some of those younger guys.
Definitely. No, I think we'll probably look back, and Epstein was obviously a big one to kind of, you know, signaled that change. And then him having success kind of validates a lot of that. So yeah, I'm hopeful. You know, I think, you know, until I screw up or until the next young executive screws up, I think we'll take it. But, you know, these things are cyclical, and you know, there's other organizations who have gone different routes. So I'm hopeful that this is a sign of things to come, but also cognizant of the fact that, you know, we have to produce, and I have to produce, and that's the name of the game.